Good to be with you today. And I want to just first of all say a word about Annie Johnson Flint. I've been trying to put various ones of her poems. She wrote a lot of poems that sort of fit with what we're wanting to talk about today. Just want to focus on learning God's ways that he said are so different than our ways and his thoughts and our ways, our thoughts. But anyway, she talks about the Jesus way, and I've shared with you before, but she had crippling arthritis. The Lord never healed her of it, but she had great insight in, even in those difficulties, to know how to live in victory. I've said before, but I really look forward to meeting her in heaven, especially her poem on But God, boiling it down that I don't know, but God knows, and I do not see, but God sees, and I cannot, but God can. And that was just a summary of that poem. But I was thinking about this one of the Jesus way, and what she shares here, that you may love the Lord Jesus, you may be going through difficulty. And I have to think of the Apostle Paul that received a thorn in his flesh, and the word says that it was a messenger of the wicked one. And he sought the Lord three times that he would take that away. And in God's own wisdom and way, he said, we're going to leave it there, because my grace is sufficient and my strength is perfected in weakness. The thing that I can realize out of Annie Johnson Flint's, the things poured out of her life in poetry, is that though she had this difficulty, the life of the Lord Jesus flowed through her. And I thought I'd just take a moment and share, because she's sharing here in the Jesus way, oh, there's many a thorn on the Jesus way, many a thorn I know. There is grief and loss and the pain of a cross wherever my feet may go. But the Lord will heal all the wounds that I feel when the thorns have pricked me sore. And he's planted a rose where the briar grows, for he walked this path before. And isn't that the truth? Jesus faced what we face. There's many a storm on the Jesus way, many a storm I see when black is the cloud and the wind is loud and the waves go over me. But the Lord himself is in my little ship, and the storm obeys his will. And the word he has said, be not afraid, my heart and the sea grow still. There's many a foe on the Jesus way, many a foe to fight, and the day that I must watch and pray to keep my armor bright. But the Lord is ever at my side, the tempter's wiles to meet. Though the foe be strong and the strife be long, Jesus never knows defeat. Heavenly Father, as we just share thoughts today from your word, and it's our prayer that you would minister to us through your word about your way, and to understand your way. It makes such a difference if you show us your ways in the midst of whatever we are living through. So I just ask that you, knowing every one of our life situation, where we are in our walk with you, that you would accomplish what's on your heart as we just look into your word. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. I continue to think about and sort of being encouraged by Psalm 103, verse 7, in the midst of that 103rd Psalm. Psalmist said this, he made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. And I want to just, first of all, just to look a little bit at the ways of God in Moses' life and the way that God taught him his ways. that brought a difference in Moses' life. And I just realize, looking at that story and many other stories, that if you only see what's happening and you don't understand the plans and purposes of God behind the scenes, can be very discouraging, it can be very depressing, it can lack hope. And I think what God really wants to do is to get us to enter in to understand His ways. His ways are so different than our ways, but His ways, of course, are always right. One of the things about the ways of God, and thinking even of the promise in Romans 8:28 that He is working everything together for good, there's very often a long period of time that goes by when we don't see the end of what He has planned. But thinking about Moses a little bit, and that God did show him His ways, and just thinking a little bit about him leading the children of Israel when they would come up against an obstacle, so often their heart was, we should go back to Egypt. We should have never left Egypt. We don't see any purpose out here. We're come out here in the wilderness and now we're going to die. But God showed Moses His ways. And it wasn't that Moses would not sometimes get discouraged with what they were going through, but he ultimately knew the plan of God. And if you understand that God has a plan, and that He has a goal, and He has something that He's doing even through difficulties, you can face it in a very, very different way. Moses in Egypt, and you know the story, how that he was adopted by Pharaoh's daughter and raised up in Egypt and learning much about Egypt. But at the age of about 40, he saw a situation. He knew who the Israelite people were, and he knew they needed to be out of there, that God had a plan, and he killed an Egyptian. Anyway, Stephen says in his defense in Acts, he said that Moses thought surely they would know that God had sent him to deliver them. But Stephen said they understood not. And because Moses learned that his deed was known, he had to flee. For the next 40 years, I guess I'd say it was like a vision died. He obviously, and I think God by His Spirit, was stirring Moses up to know that those people need out of here. They need help. They're in slavery, but there is a land of promise that they need to be in. But for 40 years, I don't know what his day-to-day life was concerning what's going on with his people back in Egypt, but I think pretty much it's one of the ways of God, I think, that He lets vision die in a way so that when it comes to pass, it's only of God. It's not something that Moses could do. And so after 40 years, and you know the story, that the Lord met him in the burning bush. And what God essentially said to him, I have seen what's going on with my people in Egypt, and I'm come down to deliver them. And I'm sure that should have been music to Moses' ears, because that's what he had wanted 40 years earlier, that he would somehow get them out of there. But then the Lord went on and said, I've come down to deliver them, and Moses, I'm going to send you. I'm going to use you to get it done. And you know Moses at this point, he said, I can't speak. He now felt like he's not in any way up to it, but the Lord made him sure, I will be with you. And this is something I want you to know, that it's going to happen. My people are going to worship me here on this mountain. I had to think about that. Moses out there in the wilderness with the sheep, and here at the mount, and trying to visualize that nation out here. But God said, this is, so you can know it's true, they're going to be out here worshiping me out here. Well, Moses goes, he goes through a process of God encouraging him and with his brother as well to Pharaoh and challenged him. God says that these people are people need to go out in the wilderness and worship him. And you remember this story. They took the straw away for making the brick. Now you got to do that too, and don't decrease in all the work that's assigned to you. And the people, they had a hard time. Now, Moses, you're causing us so much problem. Now it's becoming very difficult, and you're making it more difficult. Well, the Lord got alone with Moses, and I'm not going to turn to it, but in Exodus 6, several things that God said to Moses. He says, I am the Lord, and I am the Lord of this people. And I want you to know that I will bring them out. I will judge the wickedness of Egypt. I will be their God. And further, I will bring them in. And so when I think about Psalm 103:7, he made known his ways unto Moses. He along the line at the burning bush, and now at this time when it became severely difficult for the people because of what they had to do, that he is letting Moses know, I'm in this, I'm going to do it, trust me. And I think the problem, if you just see the acts, if you just see day to day, it can be so disheartening and so discouraging. But if you understand his ways, that God has a plan. It may be difficult, it may take time, God knows what he's doing, and he's going to bring you to a specific end. Well, Moses went back and he told the people what God had told him, but he said they really couldn't take it in because of anguish of spirit. They were so miserable. But the truth is that God did do it. And so God did teach him his ways. And one other thing in that whole story that I would just say, once they were out, God led them not in the short route, but the long route down by the Red Sea. And you know the story. It says that God did a work in Pharaoh's heart to remind them, what have we done? We've let them go. We need to go and take them back. And so here comes the army of Egypt against them, backed up to the Red Sea. All they saw was, we're going to die out here. We should have stayed in Egypt. Moses said, be encouraged. God is going to use this to put an end to the slavery that you've known. And that's exactly what he did. He took them through the Red Sea. The Egyptian army perished in the Red Sea because God had a plan. And so I just want to remind us how very important it is to seek to know God's ways. And I'd go to Isaiah 55 just a moment, where God testified to his ways. I put a verse there in the bulletin. But this is Isaiah 55:8. And this is God saying, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. And then he says this, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And so we need the Lord's help to be able to learn about his ways. And he goes on to say this, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it to bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be. This is God saying, my thoughts and my ways are so much higher than yours, but as the rain comes down, so is my word. My word comes down, and so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. And so I think the key to knowing God's ways to knowing God's thoughts are in His Word. He has given us His Word to be able to understand His ways, and that in every situation for His children that are seeking Him and are walking with Him and desiring to know Him and be with Him, He knows His plans concerning you. I think of, see if I can quote it in Ephesians 2:10, that says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." I like to share that with myself. I like to share that with others that may be going through a struggle, that as God's child, you're His workmanship. He knows what He's doing in your life. And in fact, it was planned for you, go back to Ephesians 1, before He made the world. He knows about this meeting right here this morning before He made the world. I can't comprehend the mind of God. And we can't when we're with Him. We'll know better. But to know that he knew me before He made the world. He knew you, each of you. He knew His plans for you. And so it's important to somehow enter into, by His word, His ways of working. That's what I think about Annie Johnson Flint. Man, I think she really struggled with the disease and the pain and all that. But somehow out of all of that came God's work of communicating the wondrous truths of in the midst of it, of His presence and also of His plan that He works out. So anyway, God has testified here to this matter of His ways being beyond our, we can't in our own comprehend His ways, but His word, as we read His word, as we ponder His word, that we can begin to know more and more about His ways as He's working in our life. There's a verse in the passage in Romans 8 that we want to just share tonight, see if I can pick it up here. In verse 36 of Romans 8, he says, "For it is written," he's talking about all the victory that's ours, and then he comes to verse 36, "as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter." That comes right out of Psalm 44:22. "Yea, for thy sake we're killed all the day long. We're accounted as sheep for the slaughter." And so Paul writes that, and his very next verse he says, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us." And I just think right in the middle of that victorious passage there, he's saying, we go through things, it's difficult, it looks like it's going to go bad, it looks like they're against us, it looks like, how can we come out of this? And I appreciate, by the Spirit of God, he wrote, no. In all of this, we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And that's concerning the ways of God. I want to just share, too, as just an overview of what he did in Job's life, in the spiritual battle. And if you're a Christian today, you're in a spiritual battle, whether you know it or not. He hates Jesus Christ in your life. And he wants to destroy you and destroy your testimony and whatever. But anyway, you know in the book of Job that there was a meeting of the sons of God, and Satan came in the midst of them before God, the audacity that he has. But God had a plan in his ways. And you know how he brought up Job. "Satan, have you observed my servant Job? This righteous man that loves me and walks in integrity." And you know Right then and there, Satan testified to God's hedge, which I think he probably didn't realize that was going to go to every generation, to all people, how God hedges up his people. But he said, you've hedged up his way. That's why he honors you. That's why he loves you. Let me at him, and he'll curse you to the face. And God, in his own ways, in his own ways that go beyond having us to live through an easy life, said, okay, I'll take away the hedge. You can touch all that he has. And so the testimony is that Satan went out and destroyed everything that belonged to him. He did not touch his health, did not touch his wife. They are one. And then further, Job had integrity. But then he says, now let me touch his body, then he will. God also let him do that. But you know, I really believe that Satan hates the day that he asked to be able to go after Job. Because what God did was to demonstrate to all the world for all time how wicked, destructive Satan is. How his, as he says in John 10:10, the thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what's on his heart. And those that go after him, that's what ultimately happens. He's always destructive. That's his way. But God turned Job's captivity when he prayed for his friends. And it's amazing, he gave him back twice as much. All his family and friends, all now they come and they all bring money too. It's kind of interesting. But then he gets another family. And if I read it right, at the end of Job, he lived another 140 years and he saw his children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, to four generations. God sure gave him back so much more, but it was a painful time. But it was used of God in God's ways to expose our wicked enemy, and that we need protection, we need his hedge, and we need to walk under God's special care. So I want to go to Psalm 25 and just, I think there's some keys here in this matter, pursuing to know God's ways. And I've said it and I'm trying to say it, that if you know his ways, if you understand his ways, you can go through difficulty as God's child and know God has a plan. I don't know what. Sometimes he gives an inclination of what he's going to do. He did that to Joseph in dreams, but then Joseph, he stayed true to the Lord, but boy, that vision must have almost died. How are my brothers ever going to come and bow down before me? But they did. And he saved his family and was able to say to them, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. In God's ways, he had a plan. And he always does. And so in Psalm 25, there's three things that are pointed out to me that are very important if you want to know God's ways. And I understand it's going to come through the promptings of God's Holy Spirit teaching us his word. Because God said, my ways are so different, but as the rain comes down, so does my word come down. And we're going to help you understand my kind of thinking and what my ways are like. And the first one is right there in verse 4 of 25, where the psalmist said, show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. I want to know your ways. I want to know and understand how you work. I don't want to just see what's happening and trying to interpret life from there. I want a bigger picture of how you work and what your plans are for us. As you go to the Word of God, and I think it's so important, you go to the Word of God and you realize it's living, it's eternal, it's right. To be able to say, as we go through our devotions today, or as we read the Word, Please open my understanding of it. I want to know about your ways. I want to know how you work, and to show my ways. And I think it's important to have just a childlike heart to learn. I shared that recently, I think several weeks ago, when I was here from Luke 10. You know, the 70, they went out, and Jesus said, "You're going out as lambs among wolves." But they came back excited and said, "Lord, even the devils are subject unto us in your name." And he said, "That is true, but don't rejoice in that. Rejoice that your name is written in heaven." But what I wanted to get at is then the very next word says he got alone with the Father. And he said, "Father, I thank you that you have hid these things from wise and prudent. And you've revealed them," in King James, it's "to babes." In other translations, "to little children," to the childlike. And I just want to say that I think it's, and maybe it's getting into my second point here, that I want to say that as you come to the Word of God, be a learner. Lord, show me truths about yourself that I have not seen. I need you to teach me. And, you know, on one side of things, it's not wrong to be wise and prudent in life, but in spiritual things, God really wants us to be a childlike learner, to be able to teach things that we just don't comprehend unless he teaches us. Show me thy ways, Lord. The second is in verse 9 that I wanted to see here, where he says, "The meek will I guide in judgment, the meek will he teach his way." And I think we all know that God resists pride. It was the pride of Lucifer that lifted him up to destruction in his rebellion. And pride is just will bring reproach upon our lives. But humility, he gives grace, and he will teach the humble. And I think that's what's being said here. The meek will he teach his way. Lord, help us to be humble before you, and that I need you to teach me. I'm not coming that I, you know, it's a wonderful thing to go through seminary and go through all kinds of higher education, but in the midst of it, keep a learning spirit and a humble spirit that needs to be taught by the Lord. And again, I just would go back to that verse in Luke 10:21. "Thank you, Father. You've hid these things from wise and prudent, and you've revealed them to childlike, to see it and understand it, the ways of God." And then there's one more, and it's in verse 12. "What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose." One of the, all the way through Proverbs and this matter of the fear of the Lord. And as I understand the fear of the Lord, it's just the opposite of fear of man. The fear of man is being so concerned with what man is thinking of me. What's he thinking of me? How does he see me? The fear of the Lord is, "Lord, I know your eyes are on me. I'm concerned about how you see me. I want to please you. I want to walk in your ways." And with that kind of heart, he said that the Lord will teach those that have the fear of the Lord about his ways. And then I come to one more verse here before I close that I really appreciate. In verse 14, "The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him." The secret of the Lord. NIV says it this way: "The Lord confides in those that fear him." I like that. The Lord confiding in his children. And so to me, it's a prayer of my life. Lord, I want to know your ways. I don't want to just get stuck in looking at what's happening right now and could get discouraged. not see much hope or whatever. But if I know your ways, you have a plan, you have a purpose that you're bringing about, whether you take us through a horribly dark time. Think of Job in the midst of that. I do appreciate Job toward the end of his conversations. He said, I know that my Redeemer liveth and he will stand on the earth at latter days. So in the midst of that suffering, he still had that kind of hope. But then when he prayed for his friend, God turned the captivity and blessed his life. He walked through a purpose of God to get done something that the whole world needs to know about that evil one. And you go through the book of Job, they just think God's doing it all, and they didn't know Satan came in every way to destroy. He's an awful destroyer. We need victory over him. So we need to seek to know his ways, to be humble before him, and to walk in the fear of the Lord. And I think it's just a very significant blessing if the Lord will take us into, the Lord confides in them that fear him. That's pretty neat. Father, thank you for the privilege to have our life in you and your life in us, and to be your children. And as Annie Johnson Flint testified, life wasn't easy. But she knew that you were going to be the victor, Lord Jesus. You've taken many people through very difficult things, but you always had a plan. If they're your children and they're seeking you and they want your way in their life. So Lord, in this area, we just invite you, teach us more and more about your ways. Your ways are right. Paul said they're past finding out, but that's in the flesh, we can't get them. But you've given us your word. Teach us your ways, Lord, I pray. And out of that, that we would have rest in going forward, knowing you have a plan, you will bring it to pass. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. If we could take our hymnals in closing. And please turn to 465. Draw me near. If we could stand, I think we'll just sing verse 2 of 465. Verse 2.
Consecrating unto thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and it will be lost in thine. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died.
So thank you, Lord, for your plan and purpose to every one of your children here. And Lord, I pray that there would be a response in our lives of yielding ourselves to you, to seek your, to know your ways, to be humble before you, and to fear you. Thank you for then what you can do in helping us to understand. We need that, Lord. Bless and use each life here of yours this coming week. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.